Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Eric Vitale about evil in objects. I wonder, are there more undiagnosed cases of possession in today's world than there were in the past, where we're not even looking at it as someone is possessed or anything like that? We're just like, yeah, well, horrible people, you know?
I'm sure there is, because people might not even want to bring that to the table. Well, what demonic possession? There's some people that don't even know what demonic possession is.
Sure.
You know? And I think it depends where you are in the world, too. You know, religious backgrounds. But, yeah I definitely
I just look at so many of these cases where it's like the mom's been mom for how many years, and all of a sudden she's skinning the children, you know, in the kitchen. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck? That's a dramatic turn. Like, what on earth is that? When I read yesterday where the house was burning down and she's stabbing her children as the house burns. It's just like, what on earth is going on here? These were not headlines a handful of years ago. And at first, my thought was, are we in this world where we really do hear the worst of the worst now because everything's online? In the past,
there's that force feeds us bullshit.
There's that, but these things are happening, and that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out, are they truly happening more frequently, or do we just kind of get the cream of the crop? And I'm saying that in a very weird way of the worst of the worst in every community now. And we all hear about it, whereas in the past it used to be relegated to kind of just that community would know about these horrible stories. Is it that, just the information, or are these up all around?
We have way more ways to get news nowadays. So, I mean, we didn't have social media 30 years ago, so it's more in our face. I don't know if it's...
It's more
of these things are happening now than they did, say, 30 years ago. But there's more ways for us to get that news nowadays. Yeah. You know,
it makes me wonder, like, if one were to go back and literally go to like a library and look at the microfilm, and the microfilm, kids, is where you look at an old newspaper that hasn't been digitalized yet, and you literally have to like read through it because it's how they archive the old print. And a lot of those are getting digitized now. But if someone were to go through and kind of report on that, it'd be an impossible project to do. But to look at every newspaper throughout the country and then look at these stories and really digest, okay, are these just as horrific as the stories today? And if we were to make the list of the worst, it would really compete with today? Or are people that much worse today? Are they more resourceful, more creative on the ways they're destroying lives? Or has this just been really mankind for quite some time? We're just now more well aware of it.
I think we're just more aware of it now. I mean, look, we've been dealing with sick, demented people for years and years. I mean, all the way back to Bundy, Ramirez, the Iceman. We've been dealing with
sure
twisted individuals for a very long time. Are some of them influenced by the devil? I think so. All of them? Probably not.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of sick people out there.
It makes me wonder, too, with it could be a blessing and a curse in some ways, where you're more likely to get caught today if killing children or killing this or whatever it may be is your thing. There's many more safeguards, it seems, in place that you're going to get caught, and the odds of getting a Bundy to be active out there today, I think would be caught much sooner than what it would have been those many years ago. So many times, are we just seeing kind of like the beginnings of what someone could be had all this communication not been around? You know, or was it just kind of one-offs? And there's a lot of people who live their whole life, and thanks to things like DNA sampling, we're catching people now that...
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I was going to say that. Police are way more knowledgeable nowadays with just the tools to catch these people. So maybe there's a monster in the making, but we got them right at the beginning of like a killing spree. And that's great because cops are saving lives.
Yeah, exactly. And it's always interesting. I did the DNA test, one of them a couple months ago. And my whole thing when I was doing it is kind of tongue in cheek, but kind of truthful in some way, shape or form. I'm like, I wonder if my DNA will like reveal that like some person in my family is like a horrible murderer, you know, because and I don't suspect anyone. Honestly, my family really, for the most part, is pretty normal or just not, I guess. Nobody's really in trouble. It's all, I don't suspect it, but I've always kind of wondered, you know, what's someone thinking at the Christmas get together of a family gathering when one person goes, and guess what? I bought all of us DNA kits and oh, great. I can't wait to do that. And that one person knows they're like, they did some sort of horrible crime that nobody knows about from 25 years ago. And now everybody's going to put their DNA into this. And guess what's going to happen next year? It's going to get matched up. That's got to be is someone who thinks I got away with this through all these years. And now there's that damn DNA testing that are it's got to be. I would imagine there's a very silent group of people at the holidays or whatever. Like, I hope to God my niece doesn't do that fucking DNA kit or whatever, because this could reveal some shit. But it's interesting. There's a documentary coming out later in the year, October 11th, Haunted Connecticut.
It isn't about Ed and Lorraine. It's a documentary film that I basically ventured off to some haunted locations with a filmmaker named Tony Cadwell.
Okay.
We basically found each other on social media. He's done some films.
Okay.
And I was very much intrigued by the last movie he did prior to us meeting. It was called Balsam, and on the movie poster, it was Kane Hodder, who played Jason Voorhees in four of the Friday the 13th films.
Okay.
Now, anybody that knows me knows I'm a huge Friday the 13th geek, the way people are Star Wars geeks.
Sure.
So we started going back and forth through Facebook Messenger, like, what is this? This is really cool. One thing led to another. He knew about me traveling America when I was hired by the Travel Channel back in 2019 filming Ghost Loop. And he's like, you know, we should film a movie together. And I said, you know, that'd be great, because I don't want to forever be known as the Ghost Loop guy when it comes to the entertainment side of the paranormal. I've been really wanted to do something new, but I'm not one of those guys that like goes out and like tries to get himself thrown in the limelight. I get noticed, which I've been blessed. So he flew out to Connecticut. And we went to a couple of haunted locations. We filmed this back in October of last year. We went to a haunted funeral home in Derby, Connecticut. Then we went to a very well-known haunted bed and breakfast in Preston, Connecticut, called Captain Grant's. And we filmed there. And there's also a haunted cemetery on the property. So we got all this great evidence, which my mind's blown with some of the evidence we got in this thing. I just can't wait for people to see it. I'm super proud of it. It looks fantastic. And it's coming out October 11th on all VOD major platforms. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be able to rent it and own it digitally. And it's actually available right now for pre-order on Amazon.
Okay. Okay. Tell me about the funeral home. What was the background on this place and what brought you to it?
Well, that's actually an Esper case. I've investigated there numerous times, and we were trying to get locations together, and I'm friends with the owner. He said, sure, come here, film for a night, whatever you need. And we got some pretty interesting stuff. I don't want to give too much of it away. We actually, I don't want to say the name of the place. We don't even say the name of the place in the movie, because we just don't want to draw that much attention to it. I mean, it has been on the news years ago.
Yeah.
But it's a functioning funeral home, and it's been quite active over the years. There's been some renovations the past couple of years, which has been amping activity. But we got some really, really cool stuff there. A lot of evidence that we present to the viewer as, what do you think just happened here? What do you think this spirit just said coming out of my spirit box? Because I think a lot of investigators, when it comes to TV shows and stuff like that, there's a lot of people out there doing their live streams. They'll say, oh my God, this said this. And it's like, I don't really think it said that, pal. Yeah. But we leave a lot of stuff open-ended. And I think it came across really well. And I just can't wait to film again. We're getting ready. We're actually looking for locations right now for Haunted Connecticut 2, because our whole idea is to start a franchise here. Mm-hmm. I want to do a bunch of Haunted Connecticuts, because there's a bunch of haunted locations in Connecticut.
Sure.
But we're going to travel throughout America at some point, hit some other locations. I've got a lot of other places on my mind that I want to film at, but it's a good start.
Yeah.
You know, Ghost Loop was fun, but I didn't have a lot of creative freedom. I was under contract to Travel Channel. So I look back at that as like kind of launching pad, mm-hmm. you know, it got my name out there. A lot of people know who I am because of Ghost Loop, but I've come a long way since Ghost Loop.
Sure.
And I'm really excited for people to see this. Super psyched about Haunted Connecticut. I really am.
What do you think it is about funeral homes and them being haunted? Because obviously they're not places where we as the living spend much time or really have much of a connection to. But they are places where obviously the body goes once mm-hmm. it's dead. And then there's extreme emotion in those buildings with those
Bingo.
Who are in sorrow and mourning their dead. Yeah,
you're exactly right. There's all that energy there. How many families have gone in there to mourn friends, family, to say goodbye to their loved ones? And not only that, I mean, no one truly knows what happens after you die. It's endlessly fascinating, this field. We're all still learning. That's why I hate when people call themselves paranormal experts. We're all trying to get answers here. But from some of the investigations I've done with psychic mediums, I've learned that this is really scary and really sad, but some spirits, they don't know they're dead. And that's sad. I've been on cases where, you know, they're trying. I was kicked I had a case a couple years ago. I was kicked really hard and I was like really taken back. I was like, whoa. And like the whole room went cold and I had gone upstairs and I asked the psychic medium that was with us, who kicked me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was kicked really hard. She said, well, there's a man here, and you know, he thinks you're trying to find money that he hid in the house. He doesn't know he's dead. And the guy was dead for like 50, 60 years. And that's just so sad and scary. And I think that, you know, that can happen in a funeral home. It's like, mm-hmm. you're looking at yourself laying in the casket and it's like, what?
Yeah.
I'm right here. And I think that's why also when it comes to different types of activity with earthbound spirits, it's, like, I was having a conversation with Tony the other day about this. It's like, all right, I get killed in a car accident, but I'm standing in front of Tony. I went back to see him at his house, and I'm like knocking on the table next to him, like, Tony, why can't you see me? Why can't you hear me? I'm right here. That has got to be the saddest, most frustrating situation to be in.
But wouldn't one, if you were the ghost and you were in that situation, wouldn't you kind of put the dots together after about 5 seconds? Like, oh, shit, I'm dead.
Well, yeah.
that's what I wonder about, like, where people are, like, they're constantly confused over and over. And it's like, why is no one saying, like, you got to kind of connect the dots here at some point and realize you're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, people that die really quickly, you know, they become earthbound, like mm-hmm. a car accident, man's driving home from work to see his wife and his family, hits a telephone pole. All right. His earthly, you know, his body is there in the car dead, but his energy, he's still on his way home and he shows mm-hmm. up home and he sits at the dinner table and he tries to say hi to his wife and he's being ignored. And again, no one truly knows how this works. We know a little bit,
yeah.
but that's just a sad situation to be in, and I just want to go right to heaven when I pass. I don't want to hang out. And
you don't want to go haunt the crap out of people just for the hell of it, just for a little bit?
I'd be the gust of wind blowing up skirts. That's what I would do.
I don't know if you want to say that with too many people. You might get on some sort of a list, but...
but yeah, I just want to go to heaven and
see
my loved ones.
Do you think that spirits, the people who have died, that are the subject of the funeral, are they often present for their own funerals?
I think so. Unless they've already crossed over.
Do you think you get the option? Like, okay, you know, here's the ticket. You can go directly to where you're going to go, or you can, you know, kind of do this matinee over here, which is your funeral, and then you can join, or, you know, you get the extended pass and you wander around for however long you want.
This is all really fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
That to this day, I still question.
It's sure.
Like, okay. You pass away, you die, you cross over, you're in heaven. But there's still evidence of you. You come through devices. I hear your name. How is that happening?
Yeah.
Are you standing next to me and I'm just able to pick up your voice on a frequency? Or are you talking to me from heaven right now? That's very fascinating.
Yeah. I think a lot of times we really think in one-dimensional ways of like, well, if you're doing this, it must be being done this way. And if you stop and think for a little bit, it's like, no, it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, there's so many other ways that these things could be going on, and we just don't quite grasp it.
I think you're right. I like to think that you could cross over, you can go to heaven, and we have that free will to come back to Earth and kind of visit people, loved ones, go to places we wanted to go to, and it's kind of a back and forth, if you will.
Sure. What?
That's what I'd like to believe in.
What is it like when one thinks of a bed and breakfast? I often think of them as being potentially haunted locations because a lot of times they're old kind of Victorian homes. They got a lot of history to them. But to have the cemetery in the backyard, tell me about that a little bit with what you can.
That was a pretty cool location. I actually went there last summer with my wife for an overnight, and I told myself, okay, we're just going to go to have a nice little getaway. I'm not bringing any equipment, not investigator for the weekend. And we go, and it's a very well-known haunted location. It's been on, you know, most of the TV shows. And so we go there and we asked for the Annalee room, the most haunted room there is, where people have claimed to have felt children walking all over the bed at night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, great, fantastic. We go, it was like a horror movie setting. There was a thunderstorm that night, and we're settling in to go to sleep. It's like probably around 1 a.m. Sure enough, right over me, pitter patter, felt just like a toddler walked over me. And my wife's sleeping, and I wake her up. I'm like, you missed it. I'm like, she walked right over me. She's like, oh my God. I'm like, I wish I had a camera set up. But it was amazing. And then I went back and I filmed there. With Tony for Haunted Connecticut. That's some pretty wild stuff. Weird sounds in the walls, a lot of interesting things coming out of the ghost box. I mean, I don't want to ruin it for anyone, but seriously, I did something I've never done before in an investigation. We were in a billiards room, and I was just like trying to think of something to do to try and spark activity. So I had our camera person slide a deck of cards over to me. And I start cutting the cards. You know, I pull a card and I just said, does anybody know what card this is? You know, nothing happens. So I pull another card. What card is this? Mind you, the card's laying down on the table. A voice came out of my ghost box. 9. I lifted the card. 9.
Wow.
What are the fucking odds of that happening? You know what I mean? Like, there's 60 cards in a deck. And what are the odds of, after I ask that question, a voice says a number, the same number that's on the card that I picked. So I was 100% convinced I was communicating with an intelligent spirit on that night. And that's like one of my proudest moments. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, jaw drops. Everyone in the room was like, did that really just fucking happen?
That's okay. I mean, it's so contextually accurate to what you were doing. I mean, it's like,
yes,
I think that's the point where it gets really kind of, even though you know this stuff exists, you know it can happen. Every time it does, though, it's still like a, oh, my God moment.
Yeah. I try to not freak out, though, because I try to keep my cool. That's one of the things my director, Tony, said. He's like, you never freak out, mm-hmm. like pounding in walls, like really good responses out of the spirit box. You don't freak out. And it's like, you got to keep your cool. I always try to keep my cool. I don't like to be like, oh, my God. Oh my bro, dude.
As long as you're not. Yeah. You don't want to scream, bro. That's the sign where you've gone too far.
Guilty as charged. When I was filming Ghost Loop, my director like basically had to pull me aside and said, you can't say bro anymore. You can't say dude anymore. You drop the F-bomb every 5 minutes. It's like, all right, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's funny. It's when it comes to equipment and things like, you know, a ghost box, things like an Ovilus. What's your opinion on those devices? I mean, because there's so many people who be like, oh, it's I only like this or that. I feel like all of them have a place, and some, you know, it can work in some places and sometimes it doesn't. A lot of it's contextually, if it makes sense as to what's being talked about.
Exactly. How do I feel? I believe they work. Why do I believe that? Because I've had tons of experience with them.
Yeah.
Point being what I just said to you. I pull a card and I ask, what card is this?
Yeah.
And then a voice says 9 out of the box.
Yeah.
Are you really? How do you not believe that's something that's paranormal?
Yeah.
How else do you explain that?
There's been so many
cases where that's calmed down, but go ahead.
It is. And I had one over the winter months. I was visiting my hometown cemetery in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And me and my daughter were there. And we do a very minimal investigating. We do a little thing on YouTube called Dad, Daughter, and the Dead. And I make little, you know, like 10-minute pieces here and there when we have time. And it's just some fun extra stuff that we throw out there. And we were in the cemetery. And I do not own an Ovilus, but I have an app. And the one that I used was suggested by many investigators. They're like, if you're going to use one on your phone, use this one. So I did. And so I've been using that one. And I swear, I get so many accurate results out of that app. It's scary. And the one that there were several that we got, but the one that really stood out to me as we were walking through the cemetery, it's snowing as we're going through it. And and she's carrying a K2 meter along with her.
Okay.
And and I said, if you can, go over there and try and light up. And I'm talking like it's like a baby or something, which was kind of stupid.
Yeah.
But I'm like, go over that thing in her hand. If you get close to it, that will make the lights light up. So go to that thing in her hand and use that. And the thing I get that comes up on the Ovilus type device says meter ? It's like, yes,
that's great. You know, and yeah. I think when it comes to all this stuff, I think I was a little iffy on apps for a while,
mm-hmm.
but you know how I truly feel. Spirits can manipulate things,
yeah.
and people have been trying to communicate for so long now. How many years with these apps that I think the spirits are just like, they get it now. It's like, okay,
yeah.
this is a means for us to try and speak. So let's, you know, get in there and pick a word out of this database and try to communicate with these humans that are trying to communicate with us right now.
I don't understand or see the difference between using a phone program that is designed to do that versus using a program that was put into a dedicated device. They're both computer programs.
You're right. I had a hard time wrapping my head around that for a while because I'm like, it's a phone. You know, how could you detect EMF with a phone?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it, you know, the Ovilus, that's a pretty expensive piece of equipment. We got quite a few of them. We were using them when we were filming,
mm-hmm.
called the Connecticut. But I mean, if you could download an app for free, more power to you.
Well, I'd be very curious because I've never used one, the True Ovulus, of doing it hand in hand and seeing what which one I enjoy more. Not just from the joys of getting, you know, feedback, but just what one seems to be registering things that make more sense. There's been several places we've gone to that it's made references to the setting we're in. And the people are like, well, it's because it has GPS or this or that. Like, I don't think the people who program these are necessarily, they would take a lot of programming to really kind of get down to that level of micro hacking this to make it look like it's real when it's not. And you'd have to.
Because I thought of that too.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we just said, you know, it hears us talking about something, you know, like we're talking, all right, we're in Union Graveyard right now. Maybe let's see what we get. And we turn the app on and at some point, you know, it says Union or it says Graveyard. It's like, well, did they program it in a way? Like, are we being tricked?
Yeah.
Or are we really communicating with spirits? You know what I mean?
Are we being tricked, trapped, tracked? There's so many ways of looking at it. But I think there are some that are strictly for entertainment and are just going to, you know, spit out words that sound creepy. But
it says it right in the description.
Yeah. But some, some I think go a bit further. And it's been interesting to see all of that.
Yeah, there's some out there that I see a lot of investigators using, like Necrophonic, I believe, is one of them, and like Spiritus. But, you know, to each their own. If it works for you and you're getting results, how could you deny that? Just like a lot of people would talk garbage about the Spirit Box and the PSB7. And I've gotten some really amazing evidence by using this. That's my favorite. I really love ITC research. What I do now is I'll use the Spirit Box on its own, or the old Ghost Box, which was actually it's the 12587 Radio Shack radio from years ago that people would hack. So I use that sometimes, but I really like this device called the Portal, where you could connect the Spirit Box to the Portal, where it's basically just an amplifier with a reverb pedal and a noise gate, and you could kind of like negate some of the white noise, and it's really cool. I've got a couple of them actually. Shout out to Attic Junkie Paranormal. He makes me awesome equipment. Joshua, you're awesome, buddy.
That is something that I've seen in action a little bit. I've been very curious about, and I've been very curious to add to my little repertoire of things because I really think it's interesting the way that it's kind of manipulating the sound. But all it's doing is it's just trying to pull away the white noise, the excess noise.
Exactly.
And when it does that, it's much clearer. And sometimes we need it to be clearer to really understand what the hell it's saying, especially in real time.
I like a little bit of the white noise to creep through, guys. I'm just so used to hearing the PSB7.
Sure.
But it's however you want to use it. You know, I've got all my settings on mine set to my liking. And it's a nifty little device. I really, really enjoy using the Portal.
Do you find that depending on the setting where you're investigating, certain equipment will work better versus others?
I think it's just the means of if the spirits want to communicate, because it's interesting, like a Spirit Box. One of my theories is, all right, when I turn it on, is it like turning on a TV and you're now opening yourself up to another realm of where the spirits are? All right. They're always there. They're always here and they're always speaking to each other, trying to communicate with us. And as soon as you turn that Spirit Box on, it's like, boom, you start to hear their voices. So you're not always going to be getting like you could start asking questions right away. But I feel like as soon as I turn that box on, it's just like, boom, I'm now able to hear them, like just opening the door to a crowded room and there's a party going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're just like walking right into an already in progress conversation.
Yeah.
I feel that way a lot when I do ITC research.
Where it doesn't mean they're there to necessarily connect with you. You're the one that's intruding on them.
Exactly. Exactly.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Eric. A big thank you to him for joining us on the show and sharing his experiences with us. Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for your support and thanks for listening.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.